I was trained as a biologist. And biologists like to categorize stuff, assigning each organism to a species, each species to a genus, each genus to a family, each family to an order, each order to a class to a phylum, and each phylum to a kingdom. You and I are, as you know, Homo sapiens. That is, our species is sapiens, our genus is Homo. Now, there are no other living examples, living species within our genus. But in the fossil record, you can find Homo erectus and Homo neanderthalensis, the Neanderthals. We are, however, in the same family, that's a couple of orders up, as chimpanzees and gorillas. Classification of organisms tends to highlight the similarities, and as we have learned, evolutionary relationships. Humans are not descended from apes or gorillas, but we have a common evolutionary ancestor, assuming you accept the theory of evolution. Classification is a form of naming. And naming allows us to make certain assumptions. When we hear a name, a classification, we immediately form a mental image. Chimpanzee brings up a very different image in your mind than gorilla, even though they're very similar species. Curiously, for all our tendency to point out the differences between Homo sapiens and other species, we also have an opposing tendency, and that is the tendency to anthropomorphize other species. Anthropomorphize is projecting human characteristics, human motivations and emotions, and even thought processes on non-human species. We say our dogs love us, don't we? And we mean something similar to the emotion we feel towards our spouses, our children, our parents. But there's some pretty good evidence that what the dog feels towards us is as different from human love as it is similar to human love. Contrary to what you might have heard or even thought yourselves, dogs do not lie around plotting how to get even with you the next time you leave them home alone. Their naughty behavior, even destructive behavior, isn't getting even. It's a stress release. They're very good at relieving their stress. I don't care how ashamed that dog looks when you come home. All he knows is you're mad, and he knows it at once. Naming and anthropomorphizing helps us make sense of the world around us. It's a shortcut that helps us interact with other people, other species, in a more efficient manner. Of course, naming and anthropomorphizing also lead us into behaviors that let us down because they are based on assumptions that are not true. Punishing that dog for the mess you found when you got home doesn't teach your dog not to tear things up the next time you're gone. In fact, it actually may make your next departure even more stressful as the dog worries what's going to happen when you get home. Names and labels are important. They have power. They have power to open our minds or close them. Power to elicit compassion or hatred. To suggest behaviors that harm or help. Some labels, categorizing, emphasize the differences between us and the person or thing we are labeling. I am human, Latte is a dog, we are very different. But as you may have heard, recent analysis of the human genome and other genomes reveal that we are more alike than we are different. Human and chimpanzee DNA is somewhere between 95 and 98%. 98% the same. You're just a chimpanzee except for 2%. Dogs and humans share 84% of our DNA. We really are a lot like our dogs, and our dogs are like us. But we're more like mice. 90% of our DNA is shared with those pesky little rodents. Humans, at least white Western humans, have used race as a label or a categorical shorthand, allowing us to make assumptions that support the status quo in our favor. Certain races are hard workers. There are certain races are smarter or good at math or just plain lazy. The claims of superiority of one race over the other can be heard any day, read in every newspaper. Likewise, we use national and ethnic labels to separate us from them. Some politicians use these labels to stir up fear of those people, labeling them as criminals, lowlifes, less intelligent, less patriotic, in short, not like us. The chief problem with labeling and categorizing everyone and everything is that it blinds us. It blinds us to anything that is outside of the expectations associated with that label. Jesus came back to his hometown, Nazareth. The town folk knew Jesus. They had known him since he was knee-high to a grasshopper. They knew his parents and his siblings. I'm not going to get into whether they were half-sibs or full-sibs. That's for another time. But they had watched him grow up. They had watched him skin his knees, skip rocks on Lake Galilee or wherever, and learn his father's trade, carpentry. And they had expectations based on all the labels associated with their familiarity with him. But they could not reconcile their expectations with what they had heard. They had heard about all the marvelous things Jesus had been doing, how he had healed people of their diseases, stilled storms, fed multitudes, and even, according to one story, walked on water. And on top of all that, he was a great teacher. No way could Mary's little boy do all that sort of stuff. He was a carpenter like his dad. He was unschooled beyond the minimum needed to read Torah, like everyone else. The people's assumptions, their labels, meant that Jesus was unable to do any deed of power in their midst. How might our assumptions about other people based on age, national origin, skin color, gender, or fluidity of gender, sexuality, history, whatever. Imagine how our assumptions about other people become self-fulfilled prophecies, as was the case in Nazareth. We assume, and it is so. We categorize, and so limit the possibilities for other people and for ourselves. Perhaps you have been on the receiving end of other people's assumptions or labels and know firsthand how that tends to limit your aspirations and so your achievements. I believe Jesus calls us to hold our labels, our assumptions lightly, if at all. Only when we're willing to let them go can we receive the gift and blessings God offers us through engagement with people who, on the surface, might be very different from us, but who at DNA level are nearly identical. If we refuse to accept the good news these others offer us, then we should not be surprised when they dust off their feet as a testimony against us. However, if we receive the other as the brother or sister he or she is, then we will receive, we will experience the healing power of God in our own life.